With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year. With the season of Advent, the church lives in anticipation. The world anticipates a lot of things during this time of the year. It's anticipating a shopping season that, well, this year is going to be quite different. We won't be crowding the malls and the Targets and the other places where we go to get our Christmas goodies, but that's all the world can anticipate. But the church anticipates the end of the world, and it anticipates it through the first coming of Christ, his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that makes this season of Advent for us, it doesn't have a dual focus. It has only one, the coming of Christ. And yet we know that he will come again because the one who came first through the womb of the Virgin Mary promised he would return. And we sing about it. We sing about it with anticipation, joy, and eager expectation. One of the ways we sing is through this Advent hymn, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to study the Advent hymn, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending," Pastor Will Whedon, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you today.
This last week, we lost temporarily until the resurrection a dear friend, a regular guest here on Issues Etc., and a colleague of yours, Pastor Paul McCain. What are your thoughts on his death?
You know, it's just so heartbreaking. I don't think I'll ever forget that Thanksgiving morning, just picking up my phone and glancing down and seeing the text from Jeff that Paul had passed, and just being so stunned. And then I thought, you know what? This is what it's all about. He warns us about this all the time. We should never think any of us is a guaranteed a tomorrow. And Paul would be ready to go because he knew and confessed he was a sinner who received mercy and grace from a gracious, loving Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. He lived his life that way. He devoted himself to confessing that. And especially the great work which he'd done. I mean, he's done a lot of great work over the years, but above all, in his work in publishing at Concordia Publishing House, he really did guide, I think, a great deal of the, can I call it this, the confessional and dogmatic renaissance in their publications. It's wonderful. And so, you know, you have Gerhardt and you have Carver giving you Herberger, and you have Carver giving you the Lutheran Prayer Companion and all these things. And behind all of this, I think, was a dream that Paul had to see Lutheran treasures from previous centuries brought into English and given to us to rejoice in and to live from right here and now. I mean, that's not even counting all the good new stuff they've done. I'm just thinking about the ones that were especially interesting to me that I know were very dear to Paul's heart also.
We're going to be looking at this hymn, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." What is the primary biblical root for this great hymn?
I was so hoping you would start with that today, because number one, answering your question briefly, there is one. It is Revelation 1, verse 7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." So there is that. But what's really, really, really cool about hymns as opposed to, say, singing biblical canticles or like a scripture chorus where you're just singing straight biblical text is that in the hymns, you have the poet, the author, actually weaving together a tapestry of scripture passages. Well, it's even more than that. It's so lively, especially the way that this author, Charles Wesley, pulls it off, that you have scripture passages literally dancing around some central facet of what God has done for us in Christ. And he's pulling on them from all over the place. I just get the picture from Jeremiah of, you know, then shall the virgin rejoice and the dance, both young men and old men together. You can see them holding hands and circling Christ as they sing to him. And all these allusions of biblical texts that, I mean, because Wesley was just, he was stuffed full of the scriptures, it just pours out from him, and the texts literally dance together. And that sort of makes hymns unique and wonderful and gives them such depth. And it also makes them a little bit of a challenge when people no longer are able to hear and pull out the biblical allusions, because if they're, you know, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, and even this, I mean, Wesley was a King James guy, right? So you need to be sort of familiar with the version he was using to get all the allusions he packs into a hymn such as this. He's really an amazing author.
So let's talk about him a little bit, if we could. What do we know of him and the occasion, perhaps, of this hymn?
I have no idea about the occasion of this particular hymn itself. But his dad was an Anglican priest, and so he grew up in an English parsonage, and so did his famous brother, John. And John and Charles become priests together in the Church of England. They studied at Oxford, where they famously formed something they called the Holy Club, something like that. And it was designed to actually foster methods of piety. And originally, they were really both kind of legalistic in their approach. And separately, each brother happened to read some of Luther. Charles read some of Luther's Great Galatians commentary, and John encountered Luther in the Introduction to Romans. And in both of these, they were like, their eyes were opened and they were set on fire then to spread the gospel. They were definitely both reformational Christians that way. But Charles is simply stunning in his output. The dude wrote more than 9,000 sacred texts, and about 6,500 of them honestly can be counted as hymns. True hymns. And his wide poetic work references every single book of the Bible except Obadiah, Nahum, Zephaniah, and 3 John. These are the only ones he doesn't have some allusion to in his work. The scriptures literally dance in his heart and mind, and he could summon forth the chief passages on a given topic, such as our Lord's glorious appearing, to dance in joy around their Lord. And the sheer nature of his poetry, he also excelled at varying kinds of meters, which proved to be a challenge sometimes in setting his work to tunes. It kept his work from ever being merely didactic. His hymns all teach, but they really teach in such a way as to sweep you up into doxology. You'll see it clearly in this hymn. He sweeps you up into the unending song of the angels. And on this particular piece that we're going to look at, I mean, other pieces by Wesley. So, I mean, like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He's written so many hymns in our hymnal that by the time you look at them, you will be shocked. He is like we have our Paul Gerhardt in Lutheranism. Charles Wesley is that for the Anglican Church. And because of his evangelical fervor, his hymns really ring out so beautifully to anyone who loves the gospel itself. He just had a way of expressing it in words. Now, this particular piece, he didn't actually start from scratch. This was by a fellow named John Chenick, another Anglican clergyman, and Wesley didn't like what he'd done with it. So he, well, as the Germans would say, he verbessert it. You know, he took it and improved it, and in so doing, he absolutely transformed it and made it really his own piece. And then others paid Wesley back the compliment, working on various parts of his original text that they thought needed attending to. And we're going to hear those as we work our way through the hymn itself. Perhaps the most famous, though, you know, is this. At the start, he talks about once for favorite sinner slain. And people are always like, look at that. That's Calvinist. Hey, there wasn't a Calvinist bone in that man's body. He definitely confessed the universal atonement of Christ. He just meant that Christ's favor was upon all sinners. That's what he was trying to confess. And so the text originally never meant that there were some sinners who were not favored by Christ. Well, I mean, I can go on about the text, but I think we probably need to hear some, don't we? I'm sorry, I'm talking too much.
Just about 30 seconds before we hear that first stanza. You mentioned that we have many of his hymns in our present-day hymnal, in our repertoire. And I want your thoughts on borrowing from other theological traditions for our own hymnody and how varied the origins of Lutheran hymnody has become.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is truth matters. So if somebody is singing truth, it's ours. We claim it. It belongs to us. We are not hesitant to do so. So if you look at our current hymnal, it has hymns by Roman Catholics, hymns by Anglicans, hymns by Baptists. I wouldn't be surprised if there are even hymns by Pentecostals in there. I mean, if they sang truth, then that truth was something that we could take up and use. Obviously, there's a particular affinity between the Anglicans and the Lutherans. They shared the same lectionary system by and large. And so there was just, and they borrowed heavily from the Lutheran chorales. And so when Lutherans come into English, they feel free to borrow heavily as well from the Anglicans. I think probably after the German hymns, probably the Anglican hymns formed the second biggest part of our corpus.
Let's hear the first stanza of Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, once for every sinner slain. Thousand, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ the Lord returns to reign. Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Will, what are your thoughts on the first stanza?
I think if we ask ourselves what scriptures are dancing here, there's a few that we really need to highlight. First of all, from Daniel 7, of course, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one which shall not be destroyed. And then a second sort of secondary, you know, running in the background here also is Zechariah 12, of all things. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps for a firstborn. And of course, you also have the fact that Jesus at his trial very clearly confessed when they asked, you know, so are you the Christ? He's like, well, you said so, and I tell you that from now on, you will see, you here who are putting me to death, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Same thing he says in Luke 21, verse 27, and they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And remember in Acts, the angel said, hey, just like he went up into heaven behind the cloud, he's going to come back in the same way again. And then there's also an allusion here to a really obscure passage from Jude 1:14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, of his saints, 1,000,000 saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Now, one last comment on the actual text. We mentioned favored, but they altered the ending too. It actually used to end, alleluia, 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 God appears on earth to reign. And I think they altered it to, you know, what, maybe keep the doctrine of the persons of the Trinity straight. But, you know, it's a powerful confession. And it uses the biblical verb appears, which is by far the lion's choice of the, you know, in the New Testament. It's not the return of Christ that is most commonly spoken of. It's his appearing. Because, of course, he's always here. I'm with you always to the end of the age. It's just that on that day, the veil is taken off and everybody sees. And that's what Wesley is describing and evoking by the words that he originally used.
We're studying the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's author of the books, Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or online at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. When we come back, stanza 2, every eye shall now behold him robed in glorious majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall their true Messiah see.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we launch into the prophet Joel, the second of the Book of the Twelve, with the locust plague, awaken lament, consecrate a fast, the day of the Lord, and locusts as prefigurement. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, Provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Stanza 2 of the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, this is a pretty dark stanza here, but what a poignant picture Wesley paints.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so vital to get this. I mean, he is reflecting on the word from Revelation 1:7 again. Every eye will see him, which is why, of course, Jesus is like, you don't have to listen if they tell you, hey, he's in the inner room, or you need to go there. You know, that's where you'll find him. It's like, no, when that day comes, guys, you're not going to miss it because everyone is going to see it happen at the same time. So when he comes in the clouds in great glory, it's going to be a glorious moment that no one is going to be able to miss at all. But this is the law stanza of the hymn, in which Wesley deals with the fact that his coming again in great glory will not be a joy to those who did not want him to be the king, to those who did not want what he had to offer, to those who in fact killed him and tried to get rid of him, who said to God, go away and get out of our world. We want it for ourselves. You get a flavor of it. In Revelation 6, then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I mean, you just got to love John's throwing that in there. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand the wrath of the Lamb? I mean, the ideas collide in your mind, don't they? And so he has this beautiful picture that when that day comes, there's going to be indeed great sorrow on behalf of the unbelievers. And he's going to contrast that with, in the next stanza, with the response of the believers to the exact same thing. All that the unbelievers have are the guilt of seeing him, the condemnation of seeing what they did. And yet, on the other side, the believers are going to be looking at the exact same thing and finding that to be joy and salvation. Really deep insight right there.
You got to marvel at the tune here because it's able to carry the three alleluias in the first stanza. And it's with equal credibility able to carry the deeply wailing repeated three times in this stanza, as well as with what rapture?
Yeah. You know, we didn't really talk about the tune. We should at least mention this, that, you know, this hymn was also in our previous hymnal, Lutheran Worship, and nobody paid any attention to it because we didn't have the right tune. Right? It was with the same tune we used for Let All Mortal Flesh. And when this tune, which is the way that most Christians sing it, was restored, everybody fell in love with this hymn all of a sudden, instantly. The tune was, we're not sure where it originated. We're not even sure why it's called Helmsley, which is a village in Yorkshire somewhere. But what we do know is that that incomparable church musician, Ray Vaughan Williams, grabbed hold of it, and he harmonized it in such a way that you had to slow it down. It was originally jaunty, and it went really fast. He made a harmonization you couldn't do that to. And the result was this solemnity that fills this hymn. I really think this is one of those instances where the hymn illumines the text and the text illumines the hymn. They belong together. It's an ingenious pairing.
On the other side of the break, as we study this hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, we will look at stanza 3. Those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 3 through 8, give them the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, Symbols of Salvation, The Story of Jesus' Birth. It's a new, interactive, and illustrated book showcasing the true story of Christmas in rhyme. Symbols of Salvation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Symbols of Salvation, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Oh,
stanza 3 of the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. As we study this hymn, our guest is Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Your thoughts on stanza 3, Will?
Well, I think this the identity of the body of Jesus after it is raised from the dead is secured to you by the wounds. And so that's why the whole story in John 20 is so important, that Jesus literally shows his hands and his side to the 10 who are first gathered. And when Thomas is still struggling to believe this, Jesus, in great condescension and love for him and for us, shows himself to Thomas again, and he says, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and, well, what's the word there, right? It's thrust it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas then answered him, my Lord and my God. So it is at that moment that we have absolute proof from Scripture that the risen, glorified body of Jesus bears still the signs of the Passion. And that's how we, in fact, know that the crucified one is the one who has been raised from the dead. And John puts this mystically sort of before us also in Revelation chapter 5, if you think about it. He says in verse 6, between, remember he's crying because there's that scroll that nobody can open and explain what human history is all about. And then the angel says, you know, stop weeping. Look, here comes the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he looks and it's not a lion. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So the big point being that the lamb stands as though he had been slain, a lamb that had been slaughtered and yet lives again. And it is as they worship him, as they worship this one, that all heaven breaks loose, right? With cries of adoration and worship in John 5, it just keeps on sweeping up from, you know, the inner circle right there around the throne to bigger and bigger and bigger until sooner or later, everything in heaven and on earth is praising God and the Lamb. And John records the same thing happening over in Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So this huge praise of God that just keeps on swelling and swelling has its source in the wounds, that they can look at this and say, this is the redemption price of our souls. This is the redemption price of the world. He did this for love of us. It's the cause of endless adoration, endless wonder, endless rapture. As you know, that rapture is such a great, strong word. Nothing to do with the, you know, millennial type of rapture. It has to do with being rapt, having your attention fixed and fastened onto these, and wondering at these signs in the body of Jesus that will be the delight of his people unto the ages of ages. We will look upon him, see those wounds, and give praise and glory to God for them.
This is the fulfillment of the Lord's Supper. This is what the Lord's Supper anticipates, is not being able to look away from the incarnate Christ in the resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, Revelation gives you the visible of what the Lord's Supper is the hidden of. You know, that's why I like I don't like return and I like appearing, because I think Wesley nails that. The Lord's Supper is the reality that the church is already engaged in. Already, we are standing staring at the wounds. We do that every time we gather at the supper. As our dear Dr. Nagel once said, you don't get body separated from blood unless you have a wound. You know, and that's, thus he shows us his wounds as he speaks his peace to us, and we confess him to be the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world.
The fourth stanza of Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Yea, amen, let all adore thee, high on thine eternal throne. Savior, take the power and glory, claim the kingdom as thine own. Alleluia, 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 thou shalt reign, and thou alone.
Amen, let all adore thee, high on thine eternal throne.
Well, as great as the other stanzas are, this hymn would not be complete without this final stanza. Talk about that.
Yes, yes. And I would add, it's even better as Wesley originally wrote it. So is it okay if I just give the difference there?
Sure.
At the very end of the hymn, it's not Alleluia, Alleluia again in this stanza. What Wesley wrote was Yah Jehovah, Yah Jehovah, Yah Jehovah, everlasting God, come down, which is one powerful Christological confession. And we're going to see what the scriptures are that he's alluding to as he does this. But high on your eternal throne, you can't help but think of Revelation 20, right? And I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. So, Here's the one on his eternal throne, Christ, before whom we will indeed be gathered on the day of judgment. But that ending, that really picks up something fascinating. In Psalm 68, verse 4, in the King James, and this is, again, why I think you need to know that text to know Wesley's intent. He says, it says 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. And so I think with this language of the, you know, Christ returning on the clouds, standing there on the throne of glory, Wesley is holding before you this beautiful confession that Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is the God who made all things and before whom we will indeed stand on the last judgment. And he is thus everlasting God, and he comes down to bring salvation to his people. I think it was actually a mistake to change Wesley's beautiful intent there at the end.
Those two lines in the middle of the stanza, Savior, take the power and glory, claim the kingdom as thine own, is reminiscent of 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, then comes the end, when the kingdom is transferred from Christ to his Father, and Christ submits to his Father for all eternity, and God is all in all. What do you
think? Yeah, it's such a beautiful picture, you know, that Christ came to give us back to the Father, and it can only happen in and through his suffering and death. And in and through that, he forms this kingdom in which on this joyous day, he is able to present to the Father. And the Father receives it as a treasure. He receives us as a treasure from his Son's hands, which is just so unbelievable. And when we think about it, it fills our hearts with joy and opens our mouth to sing. And throughout all this hymn, of course, you have ringing as well. Like at the end, Revelation 22, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. So our response is, amen, come Lord Jesus, come down, come reign among us. Come bring us to the fullness of the kingdom as a gift to your Father. It is just sheer joy.
You had mentioned that Philippians passage and that every eye sees him and acknowledges him in the last moment of time as Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Yahweh, come in human flesh. That really shows the unity, Will, of what the church prays for, which is Wesley's original version, praying him to come down, and how he will fulfill and answer that prayer when he does come down. And then every eye will utter, whether in faith or in fear, that this man is God.
Jesus is Yahweh. I mean, that's clearly the intent of Jesus is Lord, that confession. It means to say, I mean, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, if you will. I mean, it's this is the Kyrie that translates throughout the Kyrios of the Old Testament, right? So Yahweh, Jesus is Yahweh, and everybody is going to be able to confess that at the end, that this is the eternal Son of God. He truly is God in our flesh. There is no other explanation that could possibly account for what we read in the Gospels than that this is God in human flesh. True man, yes. True God, yes. One person, yes.
Talk about the comfort that the church derives from knowing in advance what everyone will finally see and confess in this time, especially for us in the 21st century, when so many deny it.
Yeah, yeah. And whenever you're going through a rough time, it's always, or you reach that rough patch in a book, and you just need to have some reassurance, so you might sneak a head look at the end to make sure that they all lived happily ever after. And once you see that there at the end, you're like, okay, I can keep on going through this very dark spot at the moment. That's really how the return of Christ gets the people of God through. And Christ, in his absolute awesomeness, provides them a foretaste. He continually breaks off that future and puts it back into our present to sustain us as we journey toward that future. So when you're baptized, it's already resurrection day, right? You've been raised with Christ. And when you receive the Holy Eucharist, you're literally at the Lamb's feast that's going to await us in the Father's kingdom on that joyous day. And when you hear the absolution, what are you hearing? You're hearing the verdict of Christ on the last day. This one is mine, and their sins are gone. So all of this focus toward the end, he is coming again. It is going to happen. Every eye will see him. We can't wait for this moment to arrive. And yet, as we journey toward it, he constantly sustains us by coming to us. You said at the beginning that it's really only, you know, it's the incarnate one who comes. Absolutely. And yet he does indeed come three ways. He comes to us historically. He came to us from the virgin's womb and walked among us. And then, raised in glory, he sends forth his Spirit who creates the church, and he continues to come to his church, to his people, through his means of grace, what we might call his gracious coming among us. And then finally, all of this to prepare us that we might join in the never-ending feast that awaits us at his glorious appearing.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are studying the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. In the last segment of our conversation, we're going to talk about the entire hymn and get his final thoughts. We'll also hear this entire Advent hymn. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
We're studying the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, with Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Folks, if you appreciate our hymn studies, please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to help us reach more listeners in 2021. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. With 1 month left in 2020, we're $160,000 short of expenses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of the year. Will, let's hear the entire hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending.
Oh,
The Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Will, what are your final thoughts on this hymn?
Well, if we go back to the beginning, remember you asked about what scripture it's based on. And I said it has a whole bunch of scriptures dancing around in it. I hope we've demonstrated that. But having just heard the entire thing all the way through, listen again to Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I hope you can see how Charles Wesley took that text into his own heart, and he made it be the center out of which all these other scripture passages came to dance together, and all of them rejoicing and proclaiming the central truth that the Savior who came among us, who suffered and died, and whose body bears to this day the proof of our redemption in his wounds, that he is coming again a glory to save us. And that's our joy.
Well, the church celebrates this Advent season. We embark upon it in the last couple days. And maybe we're praying with a little extra earnestness that Christ would return with about 30 seconds. Why should we be that earnest even when the world isn't falling apart around us?
Well, because everything that you have here is really good and wonderful is only a teasing taste of what's awaiting you. This world, in its very best, is the front porch to the Father's house, and the feast that waits inside is so much greater. So whenever we pray, come Lord Jesus, we're really praying, Lord, we'd like to get off the front porch and come into the house itself. And that is what awaits at the Lord's return, when he'll bring us in, into the Father, to present us to him.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Some of the church's greatest hymns are found during the Advent season. You can listen to sacred music for the season of Advent anytime, anywhere at LutheranPublicRadio.org, the LPR mobile app, and on TuneIn, Lutheran Public Radio. Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Cardinal Raymond Burke about Pope Francis' recent statements about same-sex civil unions and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. Then on Thursday, we'll have Dr. Kirk Clayton answer the question, why did God condone war and violence in the Old Testament? It is our earnest prayer. It has been the church's earnest prayer since Christ descended into heaven and we were given the promise of his reappearing. It is difficult to wait. That's why Advent is celebrated by Christians. It doesn't make the waiting any easier, but it does endue that waiting and that patient expectation with the comfort of Christ's first coming, his continuing coming to us in his word and sacraments, and his promised second coming. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.